What is going on, Internet? Welcome to a series we like to call Hot Topic, a show where we take a break from our normal podcasting routine and deliver you quick, entertaining discussions about any and everything. If you're new to the show, this is The Summit, the podcast where we share with you all the latest and greatest gaming, anime, and pop culture news, saving you all the time finding it yourself. If you're listening to this, you can find us on all major podcasting platforms. We're available on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. And don't forget, if you want to reach out and keep up with us, you can always find us on our Discord server, which is always linked in the show notes below. Now that all that is wrapped up, we hope you enjoy the discussion.
Game must be bad.
So I'm guessing we're going with that topic?
Hey, Craig, how's life?
The point is, we're going.
Right? I've been dealing with some things like every human being and didn't really sleep much last night.
Card doesn't care.
Hey, my bad, yo. I was just rehearsing lines from NF's The Search.
Why are you rehearsing them?
Anyways, we got some AAA warriors.
No, because why do you use that word? I'm rehearsing. You're not singing it. You're not rap. You're rehearsing it. No one else thought that was weird.
No, why would it? Why can't you be prepared for?
What are you preparing for? That gun to your head challenge?
Unpredictable moments, you know? You never know. What if I go to a concert and you know, you'd be like, yo, you right there all the way up on the fifth column, 50th row, come up to the stage to sing the song with me.
But you're not going to do it, though.
You went to the concert. It's not random.
You're Jeremy, bro. Fan. All right, so Jeremy, seriously, legitimately, you would get up and go, get on stage?
Absolutely.
No, you wouldn't.
You telling me I get a moment to have a spotlight?
That bitch.
No, because you're too insecure to want to get the spotlight.
How am I insecure? Insecure about what?
I don't know, bro. I just
I'd do it shirtless.
No, you wouldn't. Now you definitely.
I would definitely do it shirtless.
No, you would not.
I'd like to change the subject.
You scared of kids?
Bro, man's gonna get kicked out, banned for life. Like, oh, hope it was worth it.
At the concert, I dumped.
At the concert, you're gonna dunk? That's the story.
Yeah, you know, I just gotta build up the story.
Nikki, you just had Popeyes tonight. I don't believe you're finna dunk.
Hey, what'd you get for Popeyes, bro? Yeah, chicken sandwich.
Dunk on the toilet.
Yeah, 6-piece.
The chicken.
They don't got a 6-piece. They got a 5.
Okay.
So you got the
10-piece.
They sure did give me 10, though. Yeah, no, the old white lady felt bad because I had to ask for spicy, and she was like, I'm sorry, we had to make you wait. I was like, no, that's fine. She's like, I stuck in some extra pieces and gave you 2 apple pies. I'm like, fuck, she's just adding to my weight. I don't need these apple pies.
You don't mean you got to eat them.
So then just give them to Lucio, bro. You give them to your son.
I didn't eat them, yeah. Absolutely. I just brought them home. I didn't eat them. Damn. Hold on. Jeez, why am I getting attacked right now?
They're going to Hot Topic. I don't believe you.
Did you hear how excited he sounded? We said, like, fuck yeah.
Right.
See, he
was right. Like, you made it seem like... It made it seem like, oh no, she gave me apple pies, and then you ate them. That's how you sound.
To be honest, I don't like apple pies from restaurants.
He can't get switch ups for real. He do that shit.
It's not a switch up, it's the truth. The only apple pie I'll eat or trust is the one from Walmart. It's the little package ones, the ones that are like 99 cents.
Just be molding in the Walmart area, though.
Those are the same quality thing as McDonald's.
No, they're not. They're 1,000 times better. No, they're made with love and care, and I feel every bit of it.
Nigga, I worked at Walmart. We've been lying on the
packaging. You think Walmart products are made with love and care?
Yeah, since when do you care about love and care, bro?
When it comes to those apple pie, it needs to have a certain like finesse to it. Like it can't just be like just throwing the ingredients. Like you gotta put that little extra. Oh,
no, no,
bro,
guys.
What is you talking about, bro?
He does have a lot of evidence, you know.
Damn,
so he may have one over on us.
What? One of many.
Hell yeah.
Repo. Hey, why haven't we played Repo? What's the time?
It's just like 9 past 9.
work.
Isn't that crazy?
It's 9 past 9.
What about Repo?
I'm just asking why I haven't played it.
Oh, man, I thought you were leading into a fucking conversation, bro. You can't. You want something done, you gotta do it yourself. Look. How do y'all feel? Because I really was trying to talk about this earlier, but he got cut off like a motherfucker. Look.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah.
It was I the razor that cut me off while he's saying that.
Oh, shit. Look, man, since I gave you back the floor, I don't think that was really necessary. I corrected my wrong. You know? I mean, you just do a gracious thing, and, like, we don't got to do that around here. So, like, look, it's yours. You got the floor.
All right, so art versus commerce, the ongoing AAA debate.
I didn't cut you off again, though.
Is indie games better than AAA games? And AAA games mainly just focus on graphics versus gameplay. Like, what's the issue with that? Because if you look at the last few Game Awards, you'll notice that a lot more indies, despite the lack of budget that AAA games have, are starting to populate these nominations for stuff.
Awesome. I'm going to point out he said populate.
I mean, in all truth, ever since I got my PC, I found myself playing more indie games than AAA. So, yeah, I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like indies, or while it doesn't have probably as much content as AAA, the quality of the content that's provided in an indie game by far supersedes anything that these AAA games have put out and given us, especially when they're providing games with broken features or they need day one patches and just giving us things that are just not prepared for the market or for the consumers. So
yeah, that's true. I hate that, bro. It's actually become really annoying to buy a game like Sparking Zero, right? To buy a game And then you have to worry about patches and bugs and all that already off the bat. Like, it's a AAA. Don't you guys, like, weren't you guys prepared for this? Like, what's going on?
Now, you would think millions of dollars and 10,000 employees that you'd be able to release a game that's not in early access. Now, don't get me wrong, AAA games don't put the early access tag on there like indies do, but they're not very honest about that, because if you need a day one patch, then it's an early access game, and they don't exactly put that title on them.
Where are the days of early access games? Like, I feel like early access should be something that could be utilized a lot more and be utilized efficiently. And these demos or network test shit, like, they just don't cut it.
All right, so, like, to play devil's advocate, because, you know, like, people might get sick of y'all beating that horse. Look, for one, y'all are really overestimating the quality of every individual indie game. Like, there's just more of them out there. So you're, you know, there's always going to be a gem in the rough, a diamond in the rough, right? But most of it's going to be, you know, crap quality, just like the AAA games are. I will agree with you that AAA gaming industry has become very stale and unoriginal, and they rely on, like, nostalgia and remasters and all that bullshit to make money. And they also play it safe on newer games and new IPs because they don't want to, you know, take any risks and lose money. So I definitely agree with you on that end, that the gaming industry has become kind of stale because of it. And we usually have, like, one type of game every 5 to 6 years. First is Battle Royales, now it's Hero Shooters. I'm a fan, but still wrong. But I think we have been getting good AAA games here and there. Like, there are still, like, just like indies, there are definitely good ones in the rough. Like, we were just sitting here praising. Yeah, we were just sitting here praising, you know, Black Myth, right? Or even if it's not everyone's cup of tea, you know, Rise of the Ronin, somebody here loved the fuck out of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just like there's the goods and bads, but it exists on both ends. And, like, because, like, majority of indie games y'all play, y'all probably refund them bitches or you never get back on them again. Just like, it's just
a lot numbers of game that we haven't refunded.
How many of them do you consistently play?
On and off, Backrooms quite a lot. Probably got over between, like, the 4 or 5 different Backrooms playing that we have. We probably got over like 30-40 hours in it. I know you're probably not gonna like this, because speaking of indies, I'm sure you don't know that Baldur's Gate is made by an indie. Larian is an indie. They're not under any parent company, if you didn't know this. There's another one that we just recently played. What was it called?
Why are you bragging about that? You don't play Baldur's Gate, nigga. You never made it past Act 1.
Even so, I'm just doing that to call you out on your own thing about indies versus AAA.
I mean, I never said that they're... Like I said, there's good and bad on both sides. Of course there are good and bad.
Of course.
And also, Baldur's Gate is an exception. It's not a rule. Like, don't compare that... Like, compare that to any other indie game, really. Like, no, you can't.
Can you not?
I mean, you can't. So to fit a narrative, now we're gonna add rules and stipulations. If they got extra money, like, okay,
we weren't even talking about indie studios. We're talking about indie games, and yeah, even if Larian's a small studio, you can count something as big as that as an indie game. That's kind of ridiculous.
You know, they're only a team of 100. Most of these AAA games are.
Yeah. So you can make a big a team of 10 people can build a house. It's just gonna take longer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can still build a the game itself is way. Like,
the development time that it took for Baldur's Gate 3 versus some of these other AAA games with a lot less employees, Baldur's Gate had more content and quality.
I'm not trying to praise the other people. Like, they did, like, Baldur's Gate, like I said, is an exception, not the rule, but I'm asking, do they classify the game itself as indie? Is that on any of its tags anywhere?
Even if it's not on the tags, indie is, hold on. Indie is, whether they put the tag on it on Steam or not, it's an indie game because it was made by an indie company.
Yeah.
And what constitutes a company as being an indie company?
They don't have a parent company above them. Like, for example, EA owns all these little studios underneath them, and EA is the one that pays and funds all of this under those little studios. Like, think of, like, all these studios that NetEase fires, or, like, Marvel Rivals isn't an indie. I don't remember who their parent company is, but the people above them, you notice how they just laid off all those people, stuff like that. Yeah, that's what a non-indie is, when they have a parent company above them. Kind of like how PlayStation owns, Santa Monica Studios, and
so you're telling me that no matter how successful a studio is, if it's independent, it counts as indie. Because yes, Larian has been making games.
Well, hold on, Razor.
What does
What does indie stand for?
I don't know.
Independent.
Is that really what it is short for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Larian is an studio, like, they don't have a publisher. Studio. Like, EA is a publisher, you know?
Right.
That's like studios are no longer an indie.
Publisher,
Yeah, kind of like how Xbox now owns Call of Duty and Activision, and then all those little studios like Raven Software and stuff make COD.
And Blizzard.
They were always AAA, though.
I didn't even agree with that. I said the size thing.
Yeah. So indie is short for independent. So meaning, and so that's where it differentiates. So honestly, that's what it's just kind of standing for, because it doesn't have that big of a budget like to have with a parent company.
That was my thing, though. See, you touched on that, like talking about it doesn't have a big budget. I would disagree, because Larian had successful games before Baldur's Gate 3, so they had a budget. They just didn't need a substantial budget for the game itself.
The budget doesn't really save your indie or not.
Right.
The distribution.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I didn't know what indie stand for. Y'all could have said that.
Independent.
So when you said independent indie, I kind of figured that, but I was like, yo, so that's why I asked you if you knew, because I'm like, wait, I don't think he knows. So I wasn't trying to, like, dog on you. I was just asking to clarify.
Oh, no, I didn't think you were dogging on me. I was like, y'all really let me sit up here and sound dumb and run in circles. And I'm blaming High Roller for that.
I thought you knew. Like, you didn't say anything at first that made me think you didn't know.
Well, so before that, like, diversion, what were you saying?
The quality of indie games versus AAA games.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, how Baldur still fits within the same...
That was us going off on a tangent.
Oh.
Yeah, we know your favorite part is the argument, but it's over now, buddy.
Damn.
Okay.
he sucked you down.
So what else? You were listing, Phil. If you remember the rest of your list. I interrupted your list. Oh. Yeah.
Jeremy will probably know this, but I played this on my own, and I'm about to get back on it because their 1.0 is about to release. It's a game called... Where is it? I forgot what it's called.
Like Trials?
It's called Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon. Kind of reminds me a little bit of how Skyrim plays. It was made by this indie company, and I think it's pretty cool. Cool, so that's one. Valheim, they got like almost 200 hours in that. That's one, and that hasn't been refunded. Repo, got about 3 hours in that, and I would like to get back on that, all you know, right. Whenever.
Outlast Trials. Else. We actually doing a run on Outlast Trials pretty soon.
I don't think Honestly, Outlast is an indie.
Outlast is an indie.
Oh, it is?
Red Barrel? Yeah. Wait, no, are they Red Barrel?
But, my only beef with Repo is that you can have dumb players who all of a sudden just blow you up in the gift shop. Like, why did they make that available, bro? That's so annoying.
Yeah, Striker, I mean, random person.
Yeah, because you'll just have somebody who just wants to troll and then kill you, and then it's just like, bro, like, for real, leave me alone.
So are you saying you'd rather developers
not allow people like you
free will from players and allowing them to just freely experience and experiment with features or equipments provided within a game, whereas they need a purchase and then not know how to use it or efficiently put it into effect within the actual gameplay?
All right, Jeremy, I'll be more direct. I would rather for that they would make it to where people like you can't just be dumb and blow me up for no reason, and then I have to sit there and just.
There was a problem.
You were talking about him this whole time. You didn't just sit there and let him talk about you like that.
He wasn't talking about me. He wasn't talking about me this time. It was for experiment. It was an experiment. We just wanted to see what.
You tried to blow me up at first, and I saw it coming and ran away, and it blew up JD.
It's the same way when we got into Lockdown Protocol, and one of y'all found a gun. What's the first thing you did? You shot it at somebody.
Nigga, it was you.
Know how much damage, huh? If I recall, the first person to find a gun was Rain. Be quiet, because this is true.
Silence. He bleeds the fifth, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I had to walk back in the room just to say that's a lie.
Mm. Damn, sorry.
Yeah, the rest That's of us remember Striker being the most evil.
Thank you.
Always.
You're 0-2.
I'm my name, and I'm dying. Just
and if I have to add in my input, I was there during your dirt run in Baldur's Gate. You are an evil gamer. That's 0-3.
That's crazy. It was an evil run.
So we
all switched to murder. That was crazy.
So how evil Striker is in games?
We'll give him a chance. Who's always the first one to start shooting each other in CS2? Who's always the first one to start it?
Striker.
Typically. No, it's either mid-roller or mid-heater.
No, it's typically you, bro.
Negative. I'm a reactor.
Jeremy, how many $1,000 ranking bans have you gotten?
That's different.
Since playing CS. From shotgunning a teammate in the face.
That's completely different. That is completely different from what we're talking about.
Not really.
He asked, and I quote, who's the first one to usually shoot off or shoot one of his teammates in one of our matches? Most of the times, y'all ain't in those matches when I'm killing somebody.
I've been in
that. I just want to get out the match. No, you haven't.
Cap? Fact? Follow up?
You capping. There's at least three That's other okay. people in this Four. Discord. They're not in the BC right now that can vouch for on that.
Facts.
As much as I love casual conversation, you are right. We should kick it back to a topic. So now that I know what indie stands for, though, I'll do a little better this time, but I still got to play devil's advocate. So I don't know. I feel like y'all underappreciate good AAA titles. Like, and I think, like, it's not that I don't appreciate indie games, but just, you know, when you have a bigger scale, bigger money, you can just accomplish more. You know, that's just the way the world works, right? So, and most of the time, because it's surrounded by money, and money's corrupt, it turns shitty because the money grubbers, they just want the money. They don't care about the quality of the game. And so that's why we get a lot of the crap that we get fed out nowadays, because they know they're going to get their bag anyways. So why bother? But when a AAA game does good, I mean, that shit does good. You know, that shit like goes down in like gaming history, you know, like as much as Stryker loves repping indies, I don't hear him screaming about nothing else. He does Spider-Man or God of War, you know.
Because I mean, they have dropped the new title, but when they do,
I mean, like me personally,
they have, you know, I'd definitely be absolutely, you know, just marketing. Well, hold on,
we gotta get your ass a word limit, bro.
Huh?
God damn, we gotta get you a word limit or something. Because why can't you remember Andrew Thomas or tweet, bro? That didn't require none of that, bro. 10 words.
Another thing is, I'm not disagreeing with how AAAs have been performing, but your whole premises or argument is based on like the greatest hits, you know? That's not room for much. Like if we compared best indie versus best AAA game, it would blow it out of the water. But yes, for the last 2 years, those indies have won those games. But the gaming like industry has been oversaturated for the last couple of years. Like
that's true.
It's become mainstream, so like that makes sense.
And I will give AAA this versus indie, because like nowadays, like as a dev, there's a lot of tools out there for indie people to, you know, we're like 10 people on our team, 5 of us even, to make a game and have a lot of content, even pretty decent graphics, and they'll be able to get a shit ton of content in like in a year, because a lot of these tools make it a lot easier to make games nowadays, which is why there's so many indie games coming out.
What was Game of the Year 2024?
Astrobot, wasn't it?
Is that indie?
Yeah.
No, that was a big PlayStation.
All right, I was just checking.
But we're not going to talk about that.
That's Game of the Year, baby. AAA Studios are back on top.
And I'm not going to lie, even though that was Game of the Year, I can't even lie and say that. I feel like I would probably like $20,000 and 10 people, I could probably make that, to be honest.
Hey, man.
Which is why.
But you did it. So you're slacking.
That is true.
You know? The reality. But fair enough. I get what y'all saying.
You know, but like, something to touch on, since y'all brought up Repo, like, you don't think it's crazy that, you know, it kind of the like repetition happens with indies too, you know? Like, y'all
got... Oh, yeah, for certain.
You know, so like...
That's the whole gameplay loop of that game.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, well, just like how AAA games copy-paste. Just like how AAAs copy-paste other AAAs, I think indies tend to copy-paste other indies to make themselves successful.
For certain, because there's like 10 different backroom games. But not all of them are good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, I mean,
it's old, but I mean, like, compared to when you compare the price of like what you pay for Repo versus the price that you'd pay for Battlefield versus Call of Duty, like
those are two totally different things, though.
Yeah, but what about that time of enjoyment you're gonna get? Like, niggas still playing Call of Duty. Like, your play time and whatever the fuck you just named in comparison to a Call of Duty play time is.
Oh, yeah, no.
I got more time on Repo than Call of Duty.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you personally, bro. You suck dick. But a nigga that plays Call of Duty gonna have time in Call of Duty. I'm being honest. We being honest.
I don't woke this nigga up.
Because we can't just sit here and lie. That's what I'm saying. We just can't do that part.
Lied about, though?
Whatever the fuck you was just saying.
If you compare the Repo player hours to COD player hours, it's not a competition.
Or Battlefield. Bro. Like, this nigga Obi is still playing Battlefield 2042, and that shit had apparently one of the worst game launches in history, comparable to Cyberpunk, right? And you still playing Cyberpunk. Like, you went back and replayed.
Yeah.
You're enjoying yourself. We hitting all that, but that makes no sense, bro. Like, niggas still play COD 2019.
That shit was a banger. That was a good one.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Brandon saying, but it also depends on the game, because, like, obviously, you know.
That's why the price is different.
Or like how the sports games are typically every year, like, the top of the amount of money being made for some of these gaming companies. Just some of these games, it's gonna be same. Even if it's, you know, repetitive and the complete same shit over and over again, it's just a lot of people like that.
Yeah, and if I'm gonna get the same repetitive shit, why not get the high grade version?
I just me personally, the reason why I like indies over AAA is because it makes me feel like the old school games, like back in the day, like PS2, where it just seems like the devs actually cared more about the game. It wasn't just money involved. Like, of course, it was always money involved, but their main goal was to just make a cool, fun game for their players. Players in the game will sell. Kind of like what Larian said when they called out all the developers, laying everybody off at the Game Awards. Or whatever, just make a cool game and think of your players, your employees, just make something cool. Don't worry about the money. If you make a cool game, the money's gonna come. Come, you make that your number one focus, you're gonna make an ass game, which is why a lot of these games is, you know, ass or repetitive, or they spend millions and billions of dollars for you to give you a repetitive game that does the same shit over and over again. Like, you know, I'm gonna say this, Stark ain't gonna like it. Like Spider-Man, for example, like, it's a fun game, but, you know, after a few hours, it's the same shit over and over again for the next 5 hours. Yeah, you have to
drop games after 2 hours.
I beat the game. I beat Spider-Man.
You had to beat shit, though.
You just made an enemy.
We still waiting for the full review for Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
And I play that on and off. It's one of those huge games where it's like hundreds of hours. I do side quests, and the side quests aren't just randomly go beat up this person like Spider-Man. It's actually full storylines and different shit going on.
Well, it's nothing like that in Spider-Man either, because you run around with a taser and you play some immersive quality content as a reporter.
Any non-biased people got an opinion?
Everybody know he lying. I mean, that's true, but like I said, I think that's one of those arguments that applies to both sides. It's like, you know, whether they're, but it's more likely to happen with AAA, I guess, just because they're overhead execs and shit, wanting the money above all. But
because I'm not against AAA. Like, for example, like, probably either one or two between like Skyrim, Oblivion, and three. Skyrim, Oblivion, like The Witcher 3 is like my favorite games of all time, which are all AAA. Hey, but like I was mentioning about the Kingdom Come, where it's just like, I don't feel repetitive. It doesn't feel repetitive when I play those, because everything's a little different. The side quest isn't randomly just go do this, go kill this person, go deliver this, go grab this item, and look here. It's not like busy work like a lot of these games do nowadays with AAA, which is why I prefer like the older games, which indie gives that for me.
That is true. I agree. It seems like all the AAA games, or a good majority, is a lot of task-based and having to constantly go back and forth and doing
things. More new
Spider-Man, Rise of the Ronin, you know, that. Those are two examples of games that, honestly, those are the parts that I found boring and having to constantly do quests, side quests and all that.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, don't get me wrong with AAA, because, like, I don't, like, Jeremy mentioned, Kingdom Come 2, but that's Kingdom Come 2 is no longer an indie company anymore. I forgot who bought them. I think it was Warner or NetEase or something. I don't remember, but they're no longer indie either. By the way, so Kingdom Come 2 didn't come out as an indie game. They have a publisher.
Shit. You see, right there, like, what is that resentment towards it being AAA?
I don't have a resentment for it. I prefer Striker. Indie games. You heard him?
Right. I was like,
because as of lately, and this should be like something that we all should, like, all gamers should be kind of like damn near almost boycotting. Why the fuck are we raising the prices on games for the same, if not less, content on these games, and then still be expected to pay a premium on a DLC on top of that, so that we can get said content for the game, rather than just getting the whole thing up front, where I can just spend a fraction of the amount and play an indie game and get even more, like, content almost.
Okay, let me ask, so what AAA games are y'all buying that you're not getting your content's worth? How'd you think?
Sparking Zero?
Sparking Zero was a big one. That shit was, I wish I could refund that.
That was highly underwhelming.
But Spartan Zero is a fighting game, and the majority of your player time in a fighting game is going to go into player matches. You guys didn't want to play online, so
right. But look at Xenoverse 1 and Xenoverse 2. Those games had far more content, even from the get go, compared to Spartan
Zero. It's a different type of game. It's a different genre, though.
But it's
no fair comparison. I agree. Like Spartan Zero did flop, but it flopped because of balance, not because like. The game itself lacked content. It flopped because the meta made everything stale and boring. People left before they changed it or whatever. And also, in general, Budokai has a very small fan base. There's not a lot of people who dedicate themselves to that. It's like a, like one of them Smash type of things, but not as popular. Like, that fan base, that was going to drop regardless. Like, me and myself, I went in hesitant to buy it because I knew for a fact I wasn't going to play it for that long. I knew I was only going to play it with y'all and, like, maybe do story for a little while and unlock characters. That was it. And, like, to me, I don't even know how many hours I put into it, but I got my content worth it. I think I can guarantee put at least 20 hours to the game. Paying 60 for that for 20 hours, I think that's a good money's worth if you enjoyed yourself, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I feel like games are kind of expensive in the sense of, like, you know, purchase price. But, like, in terms of what you get out of it time-wise and enjoyer-wise, it's mad cheap when you think about it. Like, I don't think a game has to have you driven for 50 hours to be fucking worth it, you know? I think sometimes we realize we are a little, like, stingy or ungrateful for, like, what a game provides us with. Like, I got my worth out of Spartan Zero, and always, I can always go back to it and play it. If we want to go run matches, we could always go back and do that. You know, I always still have that. So I think sometimes, like... Like, you got your worst out of Spartan Zero, be real. We had fun, we sat there, we played it until our heart's content, and we just stopped because we didn't feel like it. The game wasn't even ruined for us. You know, we could have kept going if we wanted to. We just, other things popped up, and that happens. You can come leave a game and come back to it, like just like you can do with indie games. You can do that with AAA. And a fighting game is a perfect example of a game you do that for.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, but I don't feel that way.
Okay, I got two that's repetitive. Jeremy ain't gonna like this one either. I was going to say 2K, but also Pokemon. Same shit every fucking year, every time a new one comes out.
I don't play Pokemon.
And then, like, what's that bullshit that Pokemon has to do? Like, all right, we're going to release Silver and, you know, Orange, but the only difference between the two games, and we're going to charge you $60 for both of them, but the only difference is one has this legendary and the other one has that legendary Pokemon that you can catch. But they're ultimately the same game.
In those cases, I can only speak to 2K. But niggas were boycotting 2K to not buy it because of that.
Yeah.
And because of and they're getting sued because the VC doesn't carry over as well. Like they're niggas are attacking them because of that platform. So
I agree with the 2K one because I'm 24, I have like 100K VC just sitting there collecting those. Yeah.
And honestly, on the side of Pokemon, I'm a big Pokemon fan. Literally, I'm playing Pokemon now as we talk. And myself, I'm boycotting Pokemon games. Because although they're the same, honestly, the older games are far better. Like, yes, the graphics are not as great.
Platinum's
best. We have sacrificed where now we have great quality as far as graphics and visual. But the storylines are stale. The Pokemon designs. Like, on Instagram, I follow pages where you have these people making fan art of Pokemon designs that look so much better than the actual games. And so between that and the stale stories and the repetition and just overall just having to pay more for games but not getting a good story like before and just overall gameplay, I've decided the last Pokemon game, what was it, Scarlet?
Scarlet, yeah.
Yeah, that's the last, unless they change, that's the last Pokemon game I'm ever buying.
So you're not getting Legends EA?
Not until it comes out and I see it and look at reviews. Like, I'm no longer... Yeah, but that trailer is the same trailer that they've released for other games, and it's no longer enough. Because I based it on that on a trailer like that, bought the game and was disappointed. And so now it's to a point where I don't care about spoiling it for myself, where I'll rather spoil it and see before I commit to buying it.
Do you think that like this is a product of this digital age we're in, where everything's so easily accessible and the media is like not mainstream, but like really quick, I guess. Like everybody has internet, everybody has access to things, and everybody uses the use AI to do things. And like this age of technology is much more advanced, so people are doing these things a lot quicker than these people that have been doing them for so long, maybe.
I think so. Like I the Pokemon designs, and that's the biggest that's the part that's the biggest disappointment for me. Because as a kid growing up, my favorite is just seeing the new Pokemon designs. Every time a new generation is released, it's to see the new designs and how they go about it. And it seems like they've just gotten lazy with the names and with the designs. Like overall, it's like, did you have your five-year-old kid draw this for you and you took it to work with you to develop it into the game? Because how is it that these developers who are supposed to be pros, I would think Nintendo's hiring, you know, high quality talent to do these designs, yet you have people that are doing it for fun, not even for money, but for fun, to post it on their Instagram just to get a following, and the art, the designs is far better than what we're actually getting. Like, that just blows my mind. It's like, fire the people that you have hired and hire these people that are doing it for fun because they actually care and they want to commit to making a design of whatever Pokemon to look really, really good, really nice and appealing. It seems like Pokemon, the monster designs have watered down. Like, they no longer look as aggressive, but they now look more fluffed up.
I wouldn't say fire the devs per se, because being working in a studio before, I can tell you now, most of the time the devs don't really have to say so. Most of the time we're literally just told, this is what the fuck is going to be, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else kind of thing. And so a lot of times the devs don't get to put their creative vision on stuff in the games, and it's just the people up top, like the, you know, like the creative director and stockholders and CEOs, and maybe a couple other people underneath the creative director, but majority of us do not get to put our input into anything. We're just told what we're gonna do and what it's gonna be. So depending on the company, it may not be the devs.
Doesn't that create like a vacuum though? Because like, if it's not the devs, right, it may not be the devs, but as a consumer, you're boycotting the studio so that, you know, there's a change. But the people that are gonna get laid off aren't the people that are the actual issue. They're gonna lay off the devs.
Yep, you're exactly right. And that's the problem. Boycotting doesn't change anything, because it just gets rid of the smaller people.
So how do we fix
who don't have to say so anyways?
So how do we fix it? You know what I mean?
We honestly can't. These billion-dollar companies got too much power.
God damn. JD, you've been laying off honest Pokemon workers. How does it feel?
Chill up.
Time to go work for a different company then. I don't feel bad. I did, like, who's gonna feel for me? Nintendo doesn't care that I bought their games and then end up not finishing it because of story and the quality is disappointing. Right, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna be concerned. Like, if you choose to work for a company that's gonna bring out mediocre games, where they started off good, like they have good roots. If you look at the first three generations of Pokemon, like, those are my favorite. And that says a lot, because then progressively after the third generation.
Is that fire?
So first generation is Red and Blue. Second generation is Gold and Silver. And third generation is Ruby and Sapphire. After that, you have Black and White. Or no, Diamond and Pearl. Then you have Black and White. Black and White 2. Then you get to XY, then you get to Sun and Moon. Like, you keep going. And over time, slowly, but over time, you get more Pokemon that have terrible designs. And the story just kind of gets a little stale because it is kind of repetitive. You replace Team Rocket with Team Galactic or Team Magma or Team Aqua. Overall, it's still kind of the same. They're trying to capture Pokemon. They're trying to capture the legendary. You have to rescue them. And in doing so, you get the opportunity to catch the legendary. So, now there are some games that they really went out and went amazing with the story. Like Omega Ruby and Omega Sapphire. The story was great. Black and White and Black and White 2. The story was great. And then you go downhill from there. Honestly, XY, Sun and Moon.
You didn't like Arceus?
Legend of Arceus. No, I forgot about it. Yeah, Legend of Arceus was good. That's that. Yeah, that's another one that was good. I forgot about them. But yeah, yeah. No, it's I'm a true fan, bro. I've played, even though the games were digressing in quality and designs and story, I continued to buy them up until Scarlet. What is it? Violet and Scarlet.
Scarlet is the latest one.
I committed. I bought and played every single game up until that point.
And did you do the DLC for Sword and Shield?
No, because I was disappointed. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to commit to more of this game.
Crazy. So you didn't do the Calyrex and none of that?
Nope.
I feel like you missed out on that one.
And so then,
yeah, I wanted to ask, since Striker input now, like, have you been buying Pokemon games recently, like new ones?
I have. I've kept up with all of it, and I've played the DLC to Scarlet and Violet, both the Masked Man and the Terrapagos Islands.
It's never a short answer. But so, like, knowing that, though, like, how do you feel on your stance of, like, do you think they've been repetitive with all these new games?
So, Alright, so to answer that, like, you have to, like, really dive into, like, what Pokemon is. Like, I mean, at its core, it's really hard to change, like, its mechanic or how the game plays. Like, if you're looking at it overall, just how Pokemon plays, it's the same like most games in today. So, is it going to be repetitive? Yes. Is the content going to be the same? Quite literally. The only thing that's going to change is just the narrative in it. Now, as far as the content you're provided and how you go about it and, you know, completing, quote-unquote, completing the game, because you can replay the Elite Four or whatever the final four are, which is generally, like, your goal in this games. I do like how they kind of present unique ways or, like, they present that end game and how you can approach it differently. So the game does have replayability, and I like it for that. Now, what I don't like about it is how if we look at the whole Pokédex right now, they have about 1,200 plus Pokemons that they've introduced to the game. So at some point, you got to start running out of ideas or not knowing how to go. And something to kind of keep in mind is that Pokemon is a rock, paper, scissor game. One element beats another. There's no overall, like, best trait or type in these things. Something's going to get beat. But you can go to the attributes and, like, go into the deeper part of it, which is where that whole competitive scene kind of comes in. But if you're, like, looking for a casual RPG game, like, Pokemon does do that very well.
Absolutely. Could
they do better? Sure. And we've seen it with Power World, where they introduced Pokemon with guns. It's new. It was exciting. But one thing that Power World lacked that Pokemon does is the nostalgia and, you know, that.
Yeah, me, the return of Power World's coming soon. They update shit release in 3 fucking days. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned them niggas. Cross play across all platforms, and we own that bitch.
I mean, this is a perfect example. Like, we're going to see how well Power World is going to be able to hold. And if I'm not mistaken, we're getting Legends ZA, like, 2 months after. That
shit maintain crossplay and all their expansions afterwards, it'll probably keep more concurrent users than Pokemon.
So you're telling me once Legends ZA drops, Power World players are not going to migrate over to a new Pokemon title?
Okay. No, because there's going to be people like JD that are boycotting that bullshit.
Yeah?
I don't think so. I think Pokemon at its core just holds a lot of value.
We going to see. Which side you going to be on?
I'm going to pick ZA. I'm picking up ZA.
Hmm?
We know.
You can't even think about it.
So what you're saying is you're selling out. Got it.
Hold on. I ain't say I'm selling. I ain't folding for a bag. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying, as a true fan of Pokemon and how much joy I do get while playing the game,
he's trying to make it longer. Sell it.
So you're trying to argue that Pokemon isn't like 2K, where it's the same shit every fucking game.
It's not. It is definitely not. Absolutely not.
Well, yeah, so there's major differences as far as like the region will be different. The starters will be different. So those parts do excite me.
It's a different right? park but, on but, every 2K, nigga. The fuck?
That ass. He basically just described.
What are you talking about, bro? The three-point line is still built the same. The free throw line is still the same.
That's how it is.
Put on it, bro. Fuck you,
the
mean,
battle
bro.
Is still built the same.
Oh. Actually,
it's actually not. It's actually
overall, not. Overall, yeah. Based off what JD said, the game loop is still the same. They just say
it's not. Hold on. I wasn't done though. So the battle, they did change the battle styles. They've gone from turn based to catching just straight.
We're going to a real-time dynamic.
Like yeah, like that has
2K
changed.
Added trampoline courts and racetracks.
I mean,
it's not a part of the core game, though. It's just a feature.
Everybody in it. Buys 2K for my career. That's the core game you paying for. What are we talking about?
Oh, High Roller, you still play your career, or are you just on GM?
I haven't been on 2K at all, usually, but usually it's a mix between the two.
It's just has existed in the game since fucking 13.
GM was not in the game back then.
Walking through tall grass to find a Pokemon.
That's actually changed. Now the Pokemon are out in the open. You can see when you run into one.
Oh, yeah, like Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, so now they're, you know, just in your vision. Now
it's an open world game now. The only thing they have yet to do, which is what the fan base is waiting, is multiplayer, which Pal World did. But the second they add multiplayer to Pokemon, I can guarantee you there's no game, there's no RPG game on this planet that will beat or touch Pokemon.
Man.
I think so, just because, you know, they're going to hard lock that shit to the Switch and don't nobody want to play it on that.
I mean, of course, because Nintendo.
Lulu.
It's Nintendo, of course. But, now, like, emulators exist.
Yeah, but it's not going to work multiplayer if they use an emulator.
Yes, they will. Niggas re-network fucking, or they added a network capability to a game that didn't have it, i.e. Elden Ring.
Elden Ring did have aspects of multiplayer. They just made it seamless.
Yeah.
So they built upon something that was already there with Elden Ring.
Technically, Pokemon does have multiplayer. It's just not seamless. It's during the online battles. So it's there. That's all I'm saying. That's why I feel like Pokemon in this one is kind of, like Razor would say, an exclusion. Like, you can't include it in this.
That shit's 2K.
It's an anomaly.
From an outsider's perspective, it sounds like 2K.
If I said it, he's gonna go against it.
Sometimes. But I don't see any of those changes as being significant enough to like justify like it being any different from like the changes 2K makes from year to year. You know? It's not really major. Doesn't really change the game. You're like mixing the order of the sandwich with the same sandwich, you know?
Turn my sub upside down.
Yeah. It's still the same sub. Cheddar
cheese today instead of provolone.
What if they put the bread inside out? It's a completely different sandwich.
That's the one. I don't know what weird ass shit you getting.
It's a pizza into a calzone. You know what I mean?
That's what it is. But, I mean, I think, like, we come at a crossroads because, like that question Rain asked before, none of us had an answer for it. Like, how do you fix that? Yeah, how do you fix that? Like, is... Crossroads. I don't know, like... Crossroads. Yeah, exactly. So, like, I don't know. Like, there are good AAA games, even if they're few in number, and there are a lot of bad AAA games, right? Same thing for indies. Yeah, it goes both ways. And so, it's one of those things which, I don't know, We're kind of stuck right now. Cause what do you do? Like, there are too many.
I wouldn't say we're stuck. I'd just say it's more like you can't get really win this argument. It's kind of like when people argue about LeBron versus Jordan or whatever. You can't really win the argument. It's all opinionated anyways.
One of them niggas got a whole rap album about him, and one of them don't. You know?
No, it's not. This is how you win this one. You utilize early access a lot more. I feel like if AAA would stop being bitches and just fucking release their shit a little bit sooner, or Ope was a little bit more transparent with their game instead of being secret about it and being, oh, you gotta sign this NDA and not talk about it or whatever. No, you can't stream it. Like, bro, the people you're fucking making this for are dying to see your content. So why the fuck would you not like give it to them so that they can give you feedback or criticism so that you can deliver something that's actually good? It's just stupid to not do it or to utilize that.
I think there could be, with the amount of budget that AAAs have, I think they could do a lot better is if they like made their games a bit smaller, like instead of focusing on like huge worlds and insane graphics, like condense it more so they can have more quality over the quantity. And I feel like AAA will blow indie out of the water if they decide to do that. But that will require them to stop, you know, adding these big open worlds so they can add microtransactions and live service bullshit. So that kind of helps them like plan to add more extra DLCs that they're going to charge people $60 for when they create these big open empty worlds. Whereas they're basically giving you a 20% finished game so they can charge you consistently for new pieces of it throughout the years.
I think Rain said it best earlier. When indie sells and it does good, it's great for them. When AAA games sell and it does good for them, it's because they projected it and these analytics and statistics have said this is how that's going to go, so the stakeholders are happy with those numbers. So there's expectation versus, you know, just pure hope and just hoping that this game, you know, this is something that people will like. Like, we've gone... AAA has gone away from that hope.
I think so. Cause like, think of some of these AAA games that people like me and Starker hate on now. And think of like what they used to do like back in their earlier days when they actually, you know, cared about making cool games versus put the money first or whatever. Cause obviously, you know, they got to where they were because they made great games, but now that they are where they are, they don't really care about making great games. They just want to see how they can milk every last dollar instead. And it's just like, just go back to what you were already doing to get here, and you'll keep doing fine. Make cool games.
Yeah.
Cause like you got, think of when Call of Duty first came out, it was just like something new and different and everyone loved it or whatever. So like, it was a group of people who put a little money together and they had a unique idea. They took that risk and ran with it.
Well, that War was still the best title.
What?
Okay, so let me ask, why do you think AAAs have gotten stale and stopped being
I have an answer from that, from, you know, being an insider, and I've said it before in like the pods and stuff about when I worked at Activision, where before Warzone came out to the public or whatever, there was where we was doing playtests and stuff. We did playtests with programmers and everything before the game was even released and stuff. And there was this one time we did it with like the shareholders, CEOs, and owners and stuff of the game. And it was just that, oh my god. It's just like these old ass motherfuckers do not actually play video games. Like, so you can tell like they're running a video game company, but they don't play video games. And I think that's what makes games still, because people who don't play video games is making the bigger decisions on things. It's just that, how can you understand what's a good game if you don't even make them? You're just focused on the business side of things, and you're forcing the devs to, you know, not have any, you know, creative freedom to make actual cool shit. Because you think you can milk more money if you do it this way. So you kind of put the devs in a tough spot to make it cool, which is why a lot of times you get a lot of people who either quit and leave gaming companies, or a lot of game developers that just don't care what they're working with what they're working on, stuff like that, which will also affect the quality as well, because it gets to a point where it's just like, that why am I even here? Like, I got in this industry for a reason. Like, there's a reason why I won't go back to the game industry. I'd rather just keep on working on these military simulation stuff, make some good money, keep my job security, and, you know, work on my own game like me and Striker have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why games are still stuff, because, you know, the people who actually make the games aren't the ones making the decisions on the games. People who actually play games don't have a choice.
But they kind of do have a choice to just not buy it, right? What? So I guess the counter argument, like you're saying, the players don't have a choice, but the players just...
No, I wasn't talking about the players.
Oh, you're talking about the devs.
Yeah, I was talking about the devs.
But yeah, okay. Well, just to toss the counter argument up there anyway, right? So the stale shit, like, they're fine with it because it still sells. And if it's selling, that means there's enough gamers out there who just... they're just fine with it, you know?
Yeah, like for example, like even though Ubisoft has released a lot of ass games like these past couple years, in my opinion at least the game they still gonna make 100 million, just because, you know, the amount of money, the budget, the reach they have, they still gonna make a couple hundred million off of it, even if the game is like bad to a lot of people, just because, you know, who their name is, people are gonna buy it just to check it out.
Yeah, so isn't that kind of partially our fault then?
Oh yes, it definitely is.
So I remember reading somewhere that most gamers actually play a game that's like 4 to 6 years old. Like, most people are playing something that's old. Most people don't even play new games. It's like, maybe that stale shit is because that's what people crave. That's what we want.
Like, for example, people I still play Skyrim from time to time. Like, do I play vanilla? No, I mock the hell out of it, but like, I feel like some of these older games, you know, bring me more joy and than the games of today. But don't get me wrong, there are good games that still come out.
I mean, I just said, but I mean, like, I think CS counts, because CS2 is just like a small bump upgrade from CS, which is a pretty old game.
Yeah, for like, certain.
I mean, we all got those, and so like maybe like, you know, that whole like, some people don't want to move on to new games. People would rather like just die on the heel of that other game, or that old game, I mean.
Exactly. Like, I was playing Skyrim VR last night.
Or in the case of, like back to the Pokemon thing, even though there are small changes that don't really change anything in the grand scheme of things, to Striker, they're enough to make it worthwhile. Right? So there's, like, perspectives to this shit. It's like, because if the game didn't do well, then they... Like think of Concord, right? Before we forget that, and it erases itself from memory. Like, that shit did not do well because it just didn't reach nobody. They pulled that shit off the market instantly. Like, so we can like make AAA things fail, right? Because wait, Concord, I believe that was tied to Sony, right? I'm forgetting facts about it already. No.
Yeah, right, well, I said earlier, it's not really a... anyone can win and lose the conversations. It's an opinion, of course. Like for example, like what I was saying earlier, like I don't really pay attention to reviews of games and stuff, or even movies and TV shows. So if it's something that I look at from the trailer and stuff and I think is cool, like, I'm gonna get it. Yeah, I could give a fuck less. If IGN gave it a 2 out of 10.
Wrapping up today's topic, we want to thank everyone who made it this far. If you enjoyed the discussion, all we ask in return is for you to spread the love by sharing this podcast with a friend. While you're at it, please go ahead and drop us that 5-star rating on the supporting platforms. This helps the algorithm promote our show, which helps with bringing in new listeners. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you on the next one. Peace.